We've been studying on Wednesday nights about growing up in the Lord and different aspects of Christian growth, child of growth by the children of God, and brought a message out of Philippians chapter 1 last Wednesday just to give an idea, because we're embarking upon this of reading the Word of God and studying the Word of God, meditating upon the Word of God and applying the Word of God to our lives. But tonight, we're going to lay that aside for a bit and just take a look at a current event point here and what the Scripture says about Israel and Jerusalem. If you heard the news, our president purposed to move the embassy of the United States in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And that was one of a campaign promise that President Trump made. And I think it's a good thing. It's an appropriate thing from the standpoint of the support of the nation of Israel. And we're going to see some about that and some of the scriptures we'll touch on tonight. But the thing that we need to understand, and it's something that I didn't know was the case, is that there's been a purpose that's been purposed to move the embassy in Israel, the embassy of the United States of America, from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem since 1995. Our Congress voted to do so. And my understanding is every president since has just signed by executive order a pass on getting that accomplished. And so President Trump is just taking up something that a bipartisan effort in 1995 that has been on the books since then for 22 years. And I didn't realize that. I thought it was something that he thought up, but he didn't. He's just abiding by what Congress had determined some years, 22 years ago. So, Jerusalem, Israel. Of course, we know that Israel is the Lord's nation, and we need to have a right understanding and a right purpose and way regarding Israel. Israel, a stand for Israel in this world is not a popular thing, but I tell you what, it's popular with the Lord. And so, let's start off this evening. Take a look at Psalm 122. Psalm 122, and let's read here, and then we'll go into our subject for tonight. In Psalm 122, the Scripture says, "I was glad when they said unto me, Let us go into the house of the Lord." That's a chorus that we sing. "Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Our feet shall stand," "Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, under the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David." Verse 6. "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee." I tell you what, that's a verse to note in your Bible, because it's a verse, it's words, it's a psalm of David, inspired by our Lord God Almighty. Those that pray for the peace of Jerusalem and they that love Jerusalem will prosper. "Peace be within thy walls," verse 7, "and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and my companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good." Some time ago, we went through the book of Ezekiel, and we saw how the tabernacle, there's going to be a place of worship set up there in Jerusalem. It's going to be the headquarters. It's going to be the throne of our Lord Jesus. It's an important place. It's the Lord's city. It indeed is. Now, as Gentiles, you and I have no directive to go there and worship. We don't need to take pilgrimages there for the sake of being obedient to our Lord in any way. Israel has been given those things. We have been provided the Lord's churches to serve Him within and worship Him within. And that's the directive that the Lord gives. But there will be a day where our headquarters will be there in Jerusalem. And we should desire the peace of Jerusalem and the support of Jerusalem. Now, there are those that would say from a practical matter, that we just don't need to involve ourselves in something that's not our conflict or not something that's ours. But the thing is God has said what He said, and as an individual, as a family, as a nation, we need to be supportive of this city and of this country. What we want to speak about tonight are the enemies of Israel, the enemies of Israel. And so let's take a look at what the Lord says in this. And first, let's go to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. We're going to kind of take this kind of top down. Brother Mark did a study about Brother Abraham and some months ago, and that was really good. The Lord really stirred him up about that and showed him a lot of things that he hadn't seen before, and it was a great blessing to me, and I trust it was to you. And we have all that recorded if you would want to go back and listen to it. All of our Sunday school classes are recorded, and so those are always there. Brother Stephen can give you the link for that. But here we see this in Genesis chapter 12, when our Lord calls this man Abram out of Ur of the Chaldees. He's from the Ur of the Chaldees. And so we see here in Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1, let's read. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now understand, this is the Lord speaking to Abram. And you know what? What the Lord said in that day, so many thousands of years ago, what about 1,500 years ago or so, it still stands. It still stands. It'll stand forever. It says, and he and him that curseth thee, and I will curse him that curseth thee, and I will bless him that bless thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So we need to remember the desire of our Lord is indeed ultimately that there be peace in Jerusalem. Of course, the Lord's going to use the world and the nations to chastise His nation, to bring them unto Him. And that bringing of them, that ultimate redemption of Israel, is going to be right there at the end of men running this world when the Lord Jesus comes at the beginning of His reign. And Zechariah speaks some about that. In Psalm 83, the Lord laid upon the heart of this psalmist to declare something that we might know about this very subject, the enemies of Israel. Psalm 83, let's read here in verse number 1, a psalm of Asaph. Brother Asaph was used the Lord to write several of the psalms, and this is one of his. Psalm 83, verse number 1. Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people, and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, here's their threat, come, and let us cut them off from being a nation. Does that sound familiar? It's been going on a long time, a very long time. Longer than our nation has even thought about being in existence. It's been going on for way longer than that. It's been going on for thousands of years. Come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. No more. They want to obliterate the memory of Israel. For they have consulted together with one consent. They're in agreement. They are confederate against thee. Asaph writes, against the Lord, the tabernacles of Edom, and the Ishmaelites of Moab, and the Hagarenes, Gebal, and Ammon, and Amalek, the Philistines, and the inhabitants of Tyre, Asher, also is joined with them. They have holpen the children of Lot. Selah. That word Selah is just talking about take a pause and meditate upon what's been said. One nation, one little nation in our day, geography-wise, opposed by so many. Do unto them as unto the Midianites, as to Sisera, as to Jabin, at the brook of Kishon, which perished at Endor. They became as dung for the earth. Make their nobles like Oreb and like Zeb. Yea, all their princes as Zeba and as Zalmunna, who said, let us take to ourselves the houses of God in possession. That was the desire of these mentioned earlier. O my God, verse 13, make them like a wheel and as the stubble before the wind, as the fire burneth a wood, and as the flame setteth the mountains on fire. So persecute them with thy tempest and make them afraid with thy storm. Fill their faces with shame that they may seek thy name, O Lord. Let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish. That men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, are the Most High over all the earth. And so that's a desire of Brother Asaph. And of course, he got those words from our Lord and the inspiration of the Scripture. Now, understand that this listing is a it's a listing of the Arab nations that are there. The Arabs are a general reference to the others that are living in that region over there in the Middle East. And what we want to do in this study over the course of the handful of messages that will result from it is to get an understanding of who all that group is. They're just not one group of particular people. They are confederate, as we see here. And I want us to remember this, too, as it says in Zechariah chapter 14. Take a look over here quickly. We may touch on some other nations and just reference them as we go along, because we got to remember, not only are the Arabs generally, and listen, I'm not saying that an Arab can't be saved. The Arabs are saved by repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the undertaking of their nations and the undertaking of them of them as a group, okay, of their nations, whatever division or cut that they are, if they go against Israel and they go against Jerusalem, see, Hamas has made a threat that Friday, after Friday prayers, it's going to be a time of hatred and defiance in that. I can't remember exactly the words that they put out. But Friday, they plan to be at it in protest to this move after their prayers on Friday. Remember this as we consider it here in our day. Let's not forget what the Lord says. In Zechariah 14, verse number 1, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. So there is the point that you have other nations at hand that are against Israel. And all nations of the earth, in the end, will be brought to Jerusalem to battle. And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. Half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. So there is that the Lord promises regarding His city and the nations of the world that ultimately all will be gathered against. But tonight, and for these messages, we want to go to the Scripture and find out this about what are generally referred to as the Arabs. Back in Psalm 83, it said there's the tabernacles of Edom. And that's a good place to start. I want you to turn to, let's go back a little bit before that, because there's another character at hand in Genesis 19. So go to Genesis chapter 19, and let's take a look here at the first group, the first group. Now, our study is not going to be exhaustive, but you can take this and you can take these points and go into the Scripture and see what else the Scripture says about such. But the first group, what are they? And we see them listed here. It says in Psalm 83, I'll read it to you again, the tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites, of Moab, hang on to that, the Hagarenes and Gebal and Ammon, hang on to that, and Amalek, the Philistines, the inhabitants of Tyre, Asher also is joined with them. They have Holpen, the children of Lot. That's what we're going to look at here first tonight. In Genesis chapter 19, we have the end of the account of that of Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain. And I trust you know the Scriptures and understand about how all that went. The Lord, a pre-incarnate appearance of our Lord Jesus, I believe, is at hand. The angel of the Lord Jesus himself, before he became flesh. He is there with two other angels. And the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain have come up to him, and they're a stench in the nostrils of God. And so Jesus has come. Now, the Lord has come to, as he says, to see if it's so or not. Now, understand, the Lord already knew, but he had some other work that he was doing too, didn't he? Because he stopped off to see Abraham. He stopped off to see him, didn't he? And he told him that he was going to have a son, and he was going to have a son of Sarah. And so, if you remember our Sunday school classes, Brother Mark went through that. I trust you know that account. Maybe go back and read it again if you're not as familiar with it. And so they go on and they're heading towards, after Abraham has hospitality, shows hospitality towards them. He knows there's a difference in them. And the Lord tells Abraham what he's going to do regarding Sodom and Gomorrah. And you remember the intercessory work of Abraham? He interceded. He said, well, if there's 50 righteous there, won't you spare it? And he works that all the way down, what is it, to 10? 10 or 5? 10, I think it is. He keeps on working that down, working it down, working it down. Maybe it was 5. Nevertheless, he works it down to that small number. He's intercessory. He says, because he knows who's over towards Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain. Don't forget that. It's not just going to be those two cities, but a couple other cities and everything in between. So Abraham knows that. He's thinking about Lot. And remember how it was with Lot? Lot and Abraham, their herdmen couldn't get along. And you remember how it was when they had separated? And Lot set his tents towards Sodom and Gomorrah and that plain, that well-watered thing, and went over that way. Remember how it was that there was an uprising of some other kings in the region, and they came to Sodom and they took Lot and all his household? Do you remember how many men born in Abraham's own house that he saddled up to war? Better than 300. 300 fighting men. Now, you remember, Abraham's crowd and Lot's crowd couldn't get along. How big do you think Lot's crowd was? Well, I figure it was at least half of Abraham's, don't you? Or maybe they were nearly the same. Abraham was older than Lot, but Lot had inherited whatever his daddy had, so I don't think Lot's group was a small group if it was given Abraham's herdmen, and Abraham's herdmen was given Lot's herdmen such a hard time. At least 100. If Abraham could saddle up 300 men, fighting age, what about all the women and the children of their families that were there? I mean, it was a large crowd, well over 1,000. How big was Lot's group? 250? 500? But they all started going their own way, didn't they? Evidently. And so Abraham starts at 50, and then he brings it on right down to what he's hoping will cover Lot's immediate family, and it doesn't, does it? There's Lot and his wife and his two daughters. His sons-in-law, they mock him. And so the angels of the Lord take them out, and they're commanded not to look back. And the Lord says, I cannot destroy the city. I cannot destroy the city till you're out of there. And they grab a hold of them by the wrist, by the hand, and they take them out of there. Those two angels do. And then our Lord rains down fire and Gomorrah on that place. And it's been a desolation to this day. They fled to the mountains and told to go to here and told to go to there. And Lot was contrary with the Lord and all that. And we come to this sad end of this account. In Genesis chapter 19, verse number 36. And thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. That's sad, isn't it? The sins of the fathers. The sins of the fathers coming upon children. It does. With child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab. So here we have the first mention of that one that's listed over here in Psalm 83. Tabernacles of Edom, the Ishmaelites of Moab. He named his called his name Moab, the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son, and called his name Ben-Ammi, the same as the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. So over there in Psalm 83, again it says the tabernacles of Edom, the Ishmaelites of Moab, the Hagarenes, Gebal, and Ammon, all of these are all joined together. And they have holpen the children of Lot. So we see here Abraham's great nephews are against him and against his children. If you take a look in the scripture, you can see that Ammon was a problem unto Israel from Numbers to Zephaniah. And maybe even till today. Next, we want to go on to what it said there in Psalm 83 and verse number 6. The tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites. In Genesis chapter 16, we back up some. The Lord has promised that of his own loins, and by Sarah, his wife, Abraham would have a son. And they began to get nervous, they being as old as they are, and they thought they'd take matters into their own hands. In Genesis chapter 16, we see this. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, remember that, whose name was Hagar. Now, if you remember over there in Psalm 83, verse number 6, it said the tabernacles of Edom, the Ishmaelites of Moab, and the Hagarenes. Okay? I don't know if Hagar had any more children or not, but it is interesting that the Hagarenes are mentioned there, and we'll try to determine more about what that is here in time to come. But it says, whose name was Hagar? And Sarai said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid, that it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Things changed. Sarai didn't know that that would happen. He didn't know that there would be a change in her state and her care. And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dwelt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's handmaid, whence camest thou? And wilt whither thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress, and submit thyself unto her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, and it shall not be numbered for multitude. So this child that Hagar is carrying, part a Hebrew, okay? Hebrew is where the Hebrews come, and he's earlier in that name of Hebrews comes. He's earlier in Abram's lineage. So we got a part Hebrew and a part Egyptian. And the Lord says, because he is from Abram, and the promise that is given unto Abram, that it shall not be numbered for multitude, Ishmael's children. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. So the Lord directs his name. And he will be a wild man, and will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord, that spake unto her, thou God seest me, for she said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Lay High Roi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. So here we see where Ishmael came. Now, something that happens, and you and I have both done it, maybe, and some do, and that's the reason for having a study such as this, is that an attribute of the Arabs in general is that they're, as the Lord said about Ishmael, he'll be a wild man. But that's not the case. That is only a thing that's said by the Lord about Ishmael. Now, the behavior of others is what it is, but the Lord is prophetic in telling about how Ishmael would be. Now, the religion of the Arabs is a religion that lends to violence, and it goes that way. If they take what they think that they've been given and follow their leader in that, they are a violent people. It says here regarding Ishmael that his seed will not be numbered for how many there'll be. But he's only a part of this group that is against Israel and is against Jerusalem. Only a part. He'll be a wild man. And what's it say? His hand will be against every man. And it's noted that there are many over in that part of the world, if they have a common enemy, they can focus on that enemy for a while. But history proves when they don't have a common enemy, their enemies are one another. Because peace is not in them. It's sad. Now, I'm talking about them from the standpoint of a national standpoint. Any can be saved. And the Lord has shown in the Scriptures how He saves sinners. And He can save any man. But as a national pursuit and a collective pursuit, they are against Israel. Says here, he will be a wild man, his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, hatred indeed, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. That's talking about those that are coming down the line, which we're going to be taking a look at them. Take a look over here in chapter 17. Chapter 17, let's read at verse number 18. And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. So Abram's name's been changed to Abraham. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. But as for Ishmael, I have heard thee, So see, Abraham prayed for his son by Hagar, and the Lord heard that prayer. I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation, the Ishmaelites. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time the next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. And Abraham took Ishmael his son, and that were born, all that were born in his house, and that were brought with bought with his money, and every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin, in the self same day as God had said unto him. And Abraham was 90 years old and 9 when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised and Ishmael his son. And all the men of his house, born in the house and bought with money of the stranger, were circumcised with him. And so we have here this of Ishmael being there. Ishmael, and you know there's going to be a strain between him and Isaac. Just to wrap up, let's read over here in Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25, verse number 12. Now these are the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar the Egyptian, Sarah's handmaid, bare unto Abraham. And these are the names of the sons of Ishmael by their names, according to their generations. The firstborn of Ishmael is Nebajoth, and Kedar, and Adbeel, and Mibsam, and Mishma, and Duma, and Massa, Hadar, Tema, Jetur, Naphish, and Kedema. These are the sons of Ishmael. And these are their names by their towns and by their castles. 12 princes according to their nations. And these are the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years. And he gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people. And they dwelt from Havilah unto Shur, that is before Egypt, as thou goest toward Assyria. And he died in the presence of all his brethren. So here we've taken a look at really three groups that are listed there in Psalm 83. Ammon and Moab, Lot's children, and this of Ishmael, and the promise of God upon him. The thing is there's a lot more to go in that list. And these are all nations that stand against Israel, and hate Jerusalem. What'll come of this embassy change? I don't know. I don't know exactly what will come. But don't forget what we read over there in Zechariah chapter 14, is that the Lord said he's going to gather all nations to Jerusalem. He's going to do it. And you know what he's going to do it for? For his honor and his glory. He's going to do it to rescue his nation. And he's going to do it, and that rescue of his nation, salvation of his nation, he's going to do that to bring in his literal kingdom upon this earth for 1,000 years. So none of us want conflict. None of us want our children to be involved in conflict. All of us indeed would choose to have peace. And that's right. And that's a good thing to desire peace. But the thing is, in all of our desires for our children, for our grandchildren, for ourselves, for our nation, we always must yield to what it is that the Lord wants and what He purposes and plans to do. And so, let's have understanding what our Lord has said and what He's prophesied in the Scriptures. Let us be a witness of Christ until our Lord Jesus Christ comes back, and let us desire that our Lord Jesus Christ come back. Amen. If you're here and you're not saved, we point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need Him. You need Him more than you need anything else whatsoever. You need, you're commanded of God to repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together. To repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Lord has sent. I tell you what, you think about all this, you think about this conflict, you think about the Middle East, you think about Jerusalem, you think about this move on the part of our president and country, and that can bring a fearful start into you. And then those that know more about situations in the world and such as that would be even, if we knew the things that they knew, we might even be more fearful. But may we trust and rest in our Lord. If you're here and you're not saved, are you ready for the Lord to begin these things that He's promised? I tell you what, only by being saved, only by the Lord Jesus Christ can you be ready for the end of this world, the end of this history, the end of this that the Lord has planned here, and we point you to Him. Trust in Him. Believe in Him. Repent of your sins and trust in Him.